How happy the creature of grace and peace he sings for goodness, earth he rises on the place of sea, the place in heaven, the chief of the mortal side, yet all I think I see, God and the rest of saints denied.
Attention this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm going to read the first 9 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 4, if you can bear with me through that reading. I trust that the Lord be in the matter and the subject that's on our mind. The word of the Lord says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-Peor, for all the men that followed Baal-Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But he that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes, and shall say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." We should each and every one be very thankful whenever we receive the comfort and the confirmation and assurance of the accuracy of the validity of God's word through our experience. And the more and more experiences I have in this world, and thankfully the more I am able to read in the word of the Lord, the more comfort and assurance I receive. That's a good, I believe, a good goal for us to set is to be in the Word, so that we can continually receive that assurance, so that we can feel near and dear to our Lord in these words that are on these pages. The book of Deuteronomy is certainly a book that's this just filled with charges. The first three chapters are sort of a historical review that's given by Moses that brings them up to date with where they are. And whenever I say it's a historical review, he summarizes what the Lord has blessed them to do and the path that the Lord has blessed them to follow since he's been leading them. He's been leading them for about 43 and a half years. And of course, he's led them through some down times. He's led them through some good times. But nevertheless, the Lord has been with them through this time. And he reviews this all into their memory to bring them to where they are today, which is about to go into the land that the Lord gave them. Moses, we remember, was not able to go into the land that the Lord had given unto them. The Lord told him because he smote the rock as opposed to speaking to it as God commanded, which teaches us that when God says do something a certain way, he intends for it to be done a certain way. There's not a daddy in the congregation today that tells a child to do something a certain way that does not intend for it to be done the way that they told them to do it. And we're no different than God in that. As a matter of fact, we are different from God in that our words are just our words. But God's words is the creator of this universe. He's the one that has the utmost authority. And if he says do it a certain way, then it must be done a certain way. You know, it's very important as we lay out where they are in history here that we're able to see what this land is that God has given them is a picture of. If we believe, of course, that this land that God has given unto the children of Israel and to the nation of Israel is a picture and a type of eternal heaven, then we're gonna struggle trying to explain that, because here you have the leader of the nation of Israel, the man named Moses, and his brother named Aaron, that were not able to go into this land. Now think about that for a second. If this is a picture of eternal heaven, then we've got some explaining to do on how this great man of faith, on how this man that God blessed in so many ways, was not able to go into the land. But whenever we understand that indeed this land that God had given unto them was not a type and a shadow of eternal heaven, it was a type and a shadow of the New Testament church that the Lord has blessed us to be able to have here in this world. And it is through obedience, it is through doing things as God says do them, as he intended for Moses to do when he told him to speak to that rock, that we're able to go in and that we're able to be partakers of the land which God has given us. He's brought us up to speed here, and that's where they are. Deuteronomy chapter 4 begins the charge that Moses gives unto the children of Israel, and it continues on for 27 chapters. For 27 chapters. You ever had your parents sit down with you and wonder, when is this going to end? When is these things, these instructions going to stop? You know, I can't give you an age cutoff unless y'all's experience is different than mine, because I still get them from my daddy. I still get those instructional messages from my daddy. The other day we were leaving to go out of town last Friday, and I called him on Friday morning as I do every morning. And I got the, I know y'all are going out of town tonight, instructional message. The reminder to remember to cut off everything in the house, which I haven't cut off anything in our house since, thank the Lord that he blessed me to bring a sister into my life named Sister Allison Blunt Martin. She takes care of all that. You know, I'm different from him in that. Even though my mother takes care of a lot of things, he still makes sure she takes care of them. I just encourage Sister Allison to take care of them and trust that she did it. I've never once gone around and shook door handles before we left to make sure it was locked. I trust that it was done. I got to be careful at the motel, got to be careful on the road, and it went on for 10 minutes, and I said, Daddy, I've got a few things I need to talk to you about this morning. Can we wrap up the instructions this morning? And you know, he kind of chuckled about it, but it's the same. Well, Moses gave it to him for 27 chapters. And then whenever he got to the end of instructing the whole family of Israel collectively, he then went in and he charged Joshua specifically, who was about in Deuteronomy 31. And after Moses charged Joshua by the inspiration of God, the Lord God Almighty spoke directly to Joshua. This whole book is full of a charge and full of encouragement in our walk with the Lord.
And here we see something in these verses that I've mentioned to you three different times, that the Lord will be with me this morning. I want to focus on three different times He tells them to do something here in these verses that I've read to you. Now, these are not the only times in this book that they're mentioned. And these are not the only three things that He mentions unto them to do this to. But these three things are specifically on my mind this morning. He tells them to keep some things. To keep some things. Now, whenever the Scripture tells us to keep them, He's telling us to observe and guard them. That's what that word keep means here in the context that He's telling them to. Not only to observe and take heed to, but to literally guard these things. Now you think about that. You think about things that are guarded these days. Things that we have, that we know for sure that we keep a tight. You know, our finances are probably very guarded if you've got them in the bank. You think they're secure. Let me say that again. You think they are secure. And you know, they probably are to a certain degree. But you know, there's been countries in times past that came under financial crises, and all of a sudden they cut off the access that people had to their money in those banks. Now, I'm not going to give you a message on that this morning, but I've lobbed it out there for your own research, if you will. And if you think that we've got some kind of provisions in place to keep them from doing it over here, I'll tell you, you're wrong. They could do it over here, but we've got them guarded. You know, they're in the they're off in cyberspace as far as I'm concerned. You know, a lot of us do the online banking these days. It's just a number on a screen in a lot of ways. But we've got them guarded, our finances. The Lord doesn't here speak of anything regarding finances as far as guarding. Which doesn't tell me that there's anything wrong with guarding them, but it tells us there's some things that are more precious than just our earthly and carnal things that we have here in this world that the Lord is telling us to observe and the Lord is telling us to keep under guard. One of the things that He tells us here, and He tells it here in verse 2 that I've read to you, is to keep the Word of God. Keep the commandments. And you know, the way that this verse lays out, a lot of people will say, well, it doesn't say keep the Word. It says keep the commandments. But watch how He tells us to keep the commandments. Read with me verse 2. He said, ye shall not add unto the Word which I command you. Ye shall not add unto the Word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. What was necessary in order to keep the commandments? In order to keep the commandments, they had to keep the Word that can't contain the commandments. And the charge exists today for us to keep and guard the Word of God. You know, a lot of people would say whenever they hear me lay up a need and a necessity to be able to guard the Word of God, is doesn't the Lord tell us that His Word will be preserved forever? It does. Mark 13 and 31. It'll be fixed whenever it's posted back up there on the wall. It's been wrong on the wall ever since we made that sign, ever since we revised Articles of Faith a few years ago, because we said Mark 13 and 21. It's Mark 13 and 31. It said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God has said that His words will be preserved. His words will be preserved. And you say, well, Brother Will, if He says that He's preserved it, why should we worry about guarding it? Because the Lord has said that His words will always be there, and that heaven and earth shall pass away, but His words will be preserved. That does not guarantee that they'll be preserved in your possession. In order for them to be preserved in your possession, you need to guard them. And not only guard the written one that you have before you this morning, but guard the ones that are in your heart, and guard the ones that are nigh unto thy lips, and guard what is so precious unto us as having the written Word of Almighty God. He says, guard them and keep them close to you. You know, we take for granted so much the blessing that we have in the written Word of God today. You know, in times and ages past, before the printing press was invented, it would be unheard of for a family to be able to bring a stack of Bibles into the house of God with them all at one time. It would be unheard of. We want to know why? Because the original, if you'll allow me to be able to use that, which we don't have access to today, the original was something that was not multitudes of copies of. And I tell you, whenever the Lord abundantly blesses you in such a way, the abundant blessings that God can give us in such a way can bring us to a point where sometimes we neglect to be thankful for that which God has given us. And He's given us His written Word. You know, we've got Bibles in our house that we bought that the writing's too small in to be able to try to teach children how to read. They stay stacked up on the shelf over there. You know, I've got a Bible in my truck. that was given to me whenever I was a junior in high school at football camp. They gave it to us before we went through the devotional. And it's just the Psalms and the New Testament. And I'm not necessarily in agreement with just trying to keep one book of the Old Testament and then all the New Testament ones grouped together. I think you ought to keep them all there together. But because it's a King James translation, and because it's because it is the Word of God, even though it's not the whole Word of God, I refuse to throw it away. Every time I clean out my truck and I need that little bit of extra space in my console, I think to myself, there may be a day whenever I don't have this right here, and if that's all I've got, if the government or if anybody else takes everything that is visible unto them, and that's all I've got, is just that little one there in the Bible, there in the console of my truck, I'll be thankful for that little bit that I've got. And I tell you, little Lamb of God, that's what Moses was telling these children of Israel. You guard and you observe these words because they're the words of Almighty God. Add not a word unto them. In other words, don't change them at all. People say, don't you think it'd be better if people could read it in more up-to-date language? I think it's the best because it's God's language unto us. You know, go with me over to the book of Revelation just a second. Don't worry about the sound of the children. I can get above them. Revelation chapter 22. That's also listed in our article of faith about adding or taking anything away from the Word of God, along with the verse from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Revelation chapter 22 verse 19. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not the revelation of St. John. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ that was given unto John. And it says in verse 19, it says, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. Now, notice there's a part in the book of life. There's a part in the book of life. And the part that he's referencing in the book of life is the joy, is the peace, is the blessings from Almighty God, that you've got it in this purity, that you've got it in this original state, that you know that when you read it, you're not just reading what man wanted you to read of it, you're reading what God has given you in it. And it doesn't have a part. Somebody who doesn't revise it is one that is blessed to be able to not have his part taken out of the book of life. You know, you can, you can have your part taken out of the book and not have your very presence taken out of the book. You know, first of all, that book of life is the names that are contained therein is not currently under revision. You know, we've got a code of ordinances where I work, and it is an ongoing something that is continuously under revision. There are some people that think that every time you come up to it with a problem, you've got to revise the ordinance to address the problem. I think you just use common sense and address the problem and let the ordinances stand to catch the major lawbreakers. But nevertheless, not everybody thinks that way, especially not the ones who you pay to revise those ordinances every time. They're glad to be able to do that. But you know, nevertheless, this book of life, it's not something that's under revision. It's something that according to this same book, Revelation chapter 17, it was written before the foundation of the world. And it's got every name of every blood-bought child of God in it, but not every blood-bought child of God has enjoyed their part in the book of life. You know, through the disobedience of a natural child, they can lose the joy of being part of a natural family here in this world because of things that we do that remove our the things that we could do that would not be pleasing unto our earthly Father here in this world. He cannot allow you the things that would give you joy here in this world. Well, the same thing goes whenever you're talking about your Heavenly Father. Those that take from, those that add to this book are not enjoying the true peace that is contained in these pages as the Lord intended for us to enjoy. These things are written that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly is what the Lord Jesus Christ wrote. He wrote these very words in every single one of them. You know, and what I appreciate so much about the translation that we use is that whenever those translators needed to bring a word from the Hebrew or from the Greek into English. In other words, whenever, you know, the King James translation is the only one that is a word by word translation. The rest of them are a thought by thought translation, which is different than a word by word translation. Do you understand the difference between them? You know, the
Don't you get worn out on having to preach and encourage people? And I don't get worn out preaching on it because I think it's right for us to warn others about it. But you know, if they quit making the fake ones, we quit warning people not to use them. But because they're continuously selling them, they're going to keep making them more and more because people just can't get the new one to say what they want it to say. So whenever they come out with the new one, come out with another one, they go and buy it and hope it says what they'd like for it to say instead of just reading it for what it is, a word by word translation. And whenever those translators needed to take a word from either the Hebrew or the Greek, and there was not an English one word that exists to be able to translate that original word from the original manuscripts, they were honest enough to put it in italics so that you would know that in order to translate that word from Hebrew or from Greek into an English word, that it needed another word added to it. And so that's what they did. They put it in italics. Did they add unto or did they take thereof away? I do not believe that. I don't think any reasonable person would say so. We're rejoicing in the word according to the way in which the Lord left it here for us to be able to enjoy today. This is the word, indeed, the word of the Lord. And He tells them that in order to observe the commandments, to keep the word, of God. You know, the Apostle Paul, whenever he was writing unto the church at Rome, he mentions that word in chapter 10 when he's calling upon those that are in ignorance to instead of having their own righteousness, to submit themselves unto the righteousness of God by calling upon the name of the Lord. And he said, this is the word which is in thy mouth and that is in thy heart. And this is that word of faith which we preach. I tell you, you know, the precious word that the Lord has blessed us to be able to have in written form is in unity with the word that the Lord has written upon your hearts. It's those same commandments that He gave Moses that He wrote into every born-again child, in the heart of every born-again child of God whenever He regenerated them. And they work in unity. And you know, those things that we're blessed to be able to be partakers of, if we're going to continue in the land, we've got to guard that word. The devil wants that word. He wants to take it from you. If it wasn't important in order for you to be able to have the joy, the devil would leave it alone. But because he knows it is, he wants to take it from you. May the Lord bless us to keep it. Keep the word. He says that in verse 6, the next thing. He says, I got to read 5 and 6 together in order for us to see here what he tells them to keep. Because verse 6 says, keep therefore and do them. We must know what the them what is referred to in the them. It says in verse 5, it says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. Do what? The statutes and the judgments. Keep the laws. Keep the ordinances. Keep the judgments. You know, I was downtrodden this week for just a few minutes. And it didn't last long because it, you know, even though there's, we're thankful that the Lord has given us the understanding of how wayward our world is going, it still doesn't mean it doesn't frustrate us to be able to observe it. But I don't know if you heard the words that were spoken this past week. You know, I don't mean to make specific mention of politics in order to try to draw a wedge. I just make it so that we remember just how opposite from the world that we're supposed to be. But I heard mention that from a person in a high office here in our state, he condemned people who were desiring to draft a law that would prevent people who did not agree with homosexuality from not having to do business with them. Y'all know the stories as well as I do, a lot of them, that there's people that are in the bakery business, and because they bake cakes for weddings, it doesn't matter what kind of wedding it is, two men, two women, because they bake cakes for a living, those two men and those two women can come in there, and you must bake them a cake for their wedding. And they're trying to draft a law to protect folks from being guilty of breaking a law if they say, I can't in good conscience do that because of my religious conviction. And you know, if they can make somebody bake a cake, it won't be long before they can make somebody perform the wedding. They can make somebody do, because again, you know, to start off with, was it not just about they just want to be accepted? They just want to be accepted, but that's never where it ends. They want to not only be accepted, they want to conform you to make you say what they're doing is right and to approve of what they're doing. And one of the comments that came in opposition to what folks are trying to do to protect people's religious liberty, which I think the First Amendment does in enough by itself, is that he said that the world around us is changing and that we cannot be like those that were Pharisees during the days of Jesus and act like we're too holy to be around people that we don't agree with. And I thought to myself, now the people that desire to be holy and to do things according to God's word are now going to be called Pharisees. You see where they're headed with this? You know, it's dangerous territory. It's very dangerous. You know, I heard a preacher that's my age the other day say, I am convinced that unless something drastically changes, I will be arrested before the Lord. If the Lord does not come back soon, but if I live the life of a normal man, I will be arrested for preaching against the sins of sodomy here in this world. And you think, if we do not fall down and pray that the Lord would protect us with the freedom, you know, that's what we desire, is the freedom to worship according to the way in which the Lord has told us. And He's told us these statutes and judgments, we're not determining that they're wrong. God has said that things are wrong. If they were wrong in Moses' day, and think about that, our Lord's statutes and judgments, I just got done mentioning ordinances at a local level, they change. God's right and wrong does not change. If it was wrong then, it's still wrong now. Things that were wrong long ago, they're still wrong. God, you know, we believe in a God that does not change in regards to the love of His people. The Scripture plainly says that I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And He's talking there about how He never changes in regards to the love of His children. If He's ever loved one, He'll love them forevermore. And the same thing goes with our God whenever He talks about what is right and what is wrong. What is right and wrong was established by God. And He says, you keep what I have said is right and wrong. Not what the world around us is changing. You better believe it. But it's nothing new. It's already been tried before. Not only the Word of God would confirm it, but history would confirm that every single one of these things have been tried before. Our world around us is changing. We need to pray for the Lord's intervention on that. But we need to keep guard and observe the way that the Lord has said to do things is right. They're His judgments. They're His statutes. Look at what He says would happen if these things would go forth. He said, continuing in verse 6, for this is your wisdom and this is your understanding in the sight of the nations. You know, again, what's one of the things that that is one of the pressure points about what is right and what is wrong is always, well, what is everybody else doing? But He says here that whenever you do what the Lord says, that you're able to go back and find the authority here and say, it doesn't matter. The other nations are observing, saying, what is your source? Our source is the Word. When it comes to this kingdom of God that we're blessed to be able to be partakers of, our source is the Lord. It's not about what the others are doing. It's about what the Lord says is right and what is wrong. And He says, not only which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? You know, Brother Virgil just mentioned in his prayer about calling upon the great high God. And whenever you think about how humble that each and every one of us should be at the prospect that even the Lord would be nigh enough for us to call unto Him. That's humbling, is it not? And I tell you, there's a good place to feel nigh unto Him and to feel like you're close to Him. And it's at the land that the Lord has blessed us to be partakers of so that we can call upon Him. You know, we see here that the Lord is telling us to keep the Word, keep His statutes and His judgment. You know, He gives the comparison. And I'm not going to focus long on this because I started really with this last one. And I want to make a few points about it before we close. But he makes an example of Baal-peor in verses 3 and 4 of those that didn't heed unto the word whenever the word came to them. And if you'll remember, if you go back and read in the book of Numbers in the 23rd and 24th chapter, what you'll see is that right after the Lord had told them not to mingle with those nations, those Moabites came unto the Israelites, and there they co-mingled. And were it not for Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, to cut off that plague that was brought unto them, and he called unto God to bring mercy upon them, because they're just so soon after being given the word. You know, it's kind of, I know I've told this story before, but it's a perfect example. Is whenever my brother and I were told not to go and get on a haystack, my daddy, the door is not even closed behind him going into the office where he was there before we were already on it. I mean, we were already on it. And you think here about how fresh this word was directly from the Lord. They saw the smoke upon the mount. They saw the miracles of God. They knew that this man that was speaking unto him, being Moses, was indeed given these things directly of God, but so soon after giving them. Here they go, and they go and thinking that the word that was given them was not, they didn't keep it. They didn't observe and guard it. Keep the word. Keep the judgments and statutes. Verse 9 tells us the last one. It says, keep thy soul diligently. Keep thy soul diligently. It says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. You know, the scripture speaks of soul in different contexts. A soul could be referring to a whole person, a whole being. You know, the scriptural example I would give to that would be 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, where the New Testament references of the baptism uses Old Testament references of those being saved in Noah's day. It said, the like figure whereunto doth also baptism now save us, that 8 souls were saved by water. That meant 8 individuals, 8 beings were saved by water. They were delivered from the wrath of God by that water. He judged the world, and they were delivered in the ark. And that's what he said. He references their a soul, so it can reference a whole being, but it can also refer to the inner being of a man. In other words, there's a place that you and I can't see. You know, that's tough for a lot of people that can't walk with anything that is intangible, that they can't lay their hands on. And a lot of God's children, let me say, because they're God's children in ignorance, and they're ignorant of the things that we walk by faith and not by sight. If you can't see it, you know, what would a lot of people that have a worldly mind say if you get to work tomorrow and tell them that you met with the Lord yesterday at church? You know, I was thankful to get to go to the house of the Lord yesterday to meet with the Lord. Amen. You know, that's what I'm thankful to see all y'all. And I don't think if I was here by myself that it would be near as beneficial if I was here with all. But you know, I'm thankful to meet with the Lord. I'm thankful for the Lord's presence in each and every one of your lives, that you came to the house of God, that you brought the presence of the Lord in your hearts here this morning, and that the Lord, Lord from on in heaven, came down and met with the children of men here today. That's what, you know, if you tell that to her, whatever, say, did you see him? Well, I probably wouldn't mind saying, yeah, I saw him. So you literally saw the one that the scripture says that we cannot look upon. I believe I see him in the countenance of the children of God. You know, there's no way that whenever folks are being told about what a loving God has done for them, and what he's blessed them to be partakers of, and what he's blessed them to be able to have, there's no way except the Lord bless them to gleam the way the faces of the children of God do in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way we'd see that unless we saw the Lord being permeated through the faces of the children of God. You know that? I've seen him. You know, I'm like the one in John. I would see Jesus. I desire to see the Lord's presence in the life of his children. But you know, soul is referenced a lot of times in Scripture as being an inner part of a man. And that being that which the Lord has, and that was the part that the Lord changed. See, he hasn't changed this outer part yet.
He changed the inner part so that you and I would manifest in the outer part. But even at our greatest manifestation of the outer part, it's not changed the way that the Lord is going to change it on that great and glorious day that He comes out of the cloud. That's when He's going to get His hands on the body, if you will.
Yeah.
That's when He's going to perfect that which He has. He's perfected that soul. And there's a soul on an inner man that He's changed, and His laws are written there, and it's the very presence of God within your being. That is the Lord's temple. That is where the Lord is. And you know, you ever thought about how, most of the time whenever you hear references to how nasty things are today in comparison to 100 years ago, you know, you ever been at a family gathering and somebody wanted to tell a joke that they knew was untoward and that didn't need to be told in the presence of others? They didn't mention it in the presence of the older people a lot of times. I'm not the only one that's observed that. I know others have as well. Because they knew that it was not appropriate in the eyes of holy ears. So they told it in the ears of ones that they thought would appreciate it. But whenever next time you think about not keeping your soul diligently and to letting something filthy in on your inner being, you remember that there's the presence of the Holy One within you. And just as you wouldn't desire to do it in the presence of an elderly person that you consider to be holy, think about the one that is within you that you're asking to co-mingle with such things. And that's the way we should view the presence of the Lord within us. He says, keep thy soul diligently. In other words, with strict discipline, keep a watch over what you partake in here in this world. Keep the Word. Keep the ordinances and the judgments and the statutes. Keep thy soul. You know, look down at the bottom of this verse and look at what he relates to keeping our soul. He mentions he mentions to keep in memory the things that you've seen. And I've already mentioned that about how they saw the blessings of Moses as he went up in the mountain and were delivered these ordinances. But he says, in keeping thy soul diligently, that we would teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. One of the things in order to keep your soul diligently is to teach your children. Teach your children the blessings from the Lord. You know, this day and time, everybody thinks that their responsibilities belong to everybody else. There's people out in the world today that believe their bills are everybody else's responsibility. You know, they need something, but it's not their responsibility to pay for it. It's everybody else's responsibility to pay for it. You know, that's the way society thinks today. I get calls all the time. I go out and have to look at people's private property. Well, is the county going to fix my problem? No, this is your problem. This is not the taxpayers of Bartow County's problem because you need a load of gravel on your driveway. Sorry. It belongs to you. This is yours. When you die, you don't give it to the county. You're going to give it to your heirs. This is yours. It's not your problem. It's your problem. It's not the county's problem. The same thing goes whenever it comes to teaching your children. Your children should learn when they come to the house of God. And if they don't, you should talk to me as being the pastor and saying, my children are not getting anything out of coming to church. They don't get anything out of the message. They don't get anything out of the interaction with others. You know, and we can see it. But be prepared to hear what you might need to change in addition to something that I might need to change. Don't come expecting this to be a one-sided deal, because you might need to change some things. But one of the things that a lot of people lean on is, that's your job, Brother Will, to teach my child everything that he needs to know about this book. If you believe that, let me tell you in front of everybody that you're wrong. You're responsible for your children. That's the reason why you're in the congregation with them. That's why they're sitting there next to you as opposed to being taught in another room somewhere else. You're responsible for what they've heard. You're responsible for teaching them whenever you're in your homes during the week, which is an outstanding place to teach a child. Your children are going to learn. I've said this before. Let me say it again. They're going to learn something. Every child learns something. You don't have to directly teach children things for them to learn things. They will learn something. But you should labor and work to teach them the things of God from this book. And that is what the Lord equates to keeping thy soul diligently. Tell them how good the Lord has been to you. He says, remember, you know, the things that took place. He's telling the children of Israel, remember how they were blessed. Verse 10 tells us, he mentions one specific instance that took place. It says, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me thy people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and they shall teach their children. Teach their children. Keep thy soul diligently. You know, the Scripture says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep themselves unspotted from the world. You know, leprosy was a disease that spotted the flesh. It spotted the flesh I even hesitate to call it a rash, because it's much more extreme than just a rash, but it spotted the flesh with welts and with boils and with burn places. And if you mingle with this world long enough, it'll spot you. It'll spot you. You know, those nearest to you will be the first ones to see the spots. They'll see the spots. But the Scripture tells us that there's a, you know, I love that verse for one thing. It reminds us to take care of the fatherless and the widows, and to visit them. You know, that visitation, you know, I like the old school visitation. You know, I can remember as a child, I'd be at my grandmother's house and she'd be keeping the grandchildren, and we'd be out there in the yard, and I can remember the local pastor of our church, he'd pull up and he'd stand right there at the front gate, and he'd talk to us children there, and he'd talk to her sitting on the porch, and then he'd go down, he'd talk to the next family down the road and speak to everybody. I love those old days, and I wish we still lived in them, but we don't. So don't worry, I wasn't laying that out there to say I'm coming to see you this week. That's not what I'm saying, but you don't have to literally do that to visit with somebody. To pick up the phone and to call somebody that's in that state, to visit with them, spend time with them, have them over to your house for supper, and so on and so forth, is pure religion and is undefiled before God the Father. Well, there's something else that is. It is to keep yourself unspotted from this world. There are people I know that, because of their experiences with religion, don't want a whole lot to do with church in this world. And, you know, after I've heard their experiences a lot of times, I don't really blame them. I wish I could convince them that there's something that's not like what they've experienced. But nevertheless, they're holy and they're righteous people. And they don't have anything to do with worldly things. They keep themselves unspotted from this world. And the Lord says that's pure religion. And it's undefiled before God the Father. It's not worship. Don't leave here and say, Brother Will said that was worship. That's not what I said. I said it's pure religion and it's undefiled before the Father. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Keep the Word. Keep the Lord's statutes and judgments, and keep your souls diligently. And as the Lord continued through these 27 chapters, you'll find that somewhere around the theme of these charges will somehow usually direct to one of those three things. He also says later on to keep the Sabbath day. He also says to keep the Passover and to keep the feast of keep the worship services. Those are important. Keep them, observe them, guard them. And it's not because the Lord won't have them somewhere whenever He returns, but because we desire, by keeping them and observing them and guarding them to ourselves, that the Lord would bless us to be able to have them, bless us to be the partakers of the ones until He does return. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
I suppose if I don't say what's on my mind right now, it's going to drive me crazy. I have no idea how my mind continues throughout the day wishing I would have said something else, or wishing that I would have said something better, or not, sometimes not said something. When we talk about keeping and guarding and observing, and certainly if that's something that we should do, that's something special to us, but it doesn't mean that we don't share it with others. And I meant to make mention of that. It means that we don't let others influence what God gives us, but we share it with our children, we share it with our neighbors and in our communities. And that should have been mentioned during the course of that message. So please forgive me for that.
Great is my faith.